Good morning. Thank you again for sharing the peace of Christ with one another. Before we begin, let us pray. God of grace and God of love, God of truth, God who became one of us, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this week. Some of us were blessed to experience your joy and your peace in powerful ways. Some of us experienced your joy and your peace in quiet, simple ways. Some of us are desperate in need of your grace and your peace. And we pray that you would meet us here. Have your way with us. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. Dare, I pray, that we may be your people, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we may be different, more in who you dream of us becoming. Guide our thoughts. Guide our hearts. Help us to have focus. Help us to have ears to hear. We pray for clarity, Lord. We pray for you to, for your will to be done. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. For several, last few weeks, I've been sharing with you about this idea of pyrite, iron pyrite, also known as fool's gold. It's not worth anything. Looks maybe a little pretty. Has definitely resembles a lot like gold if you were to dig it out, and yet is not at all like it. Again, if you were to burn gold, it just melts. If you were to burn this, it would not be a happy experience. It would be very stinky and dark and black, and it would not just be good. It would be smelling like eggs, rotten eggs. It would not be something you would enjoy. And yet sometimes we don't consider how our lives are built. We don't consider what our lives are built on. Are we building them on a solid foundation, or are we building them on maybe something that's maybe not what God intended? And so this series on Believe is more about us taking a hard look in the mirror and asking some good questions, asking some questions that we should not be afraid of, to not judge ourselves too harshly. If the Lord puts something in your heart or shows you something, it's not to make you feel bad. It's to help you know where you're at. Never forget reading a study done, looking at how if people can't tell the north, south, east, west, they don't know where they're at, they can't find their bearings, they tend to go, like in the movies got this one right, they go in circles over and over again. Now think about that in relationships. How many times have you gone in circles because you made the same mistakes? You couldn't figure out where you were. You couldn't figure out what to do, how to do it. What kind of God would we have if he wasn't good, if he didn't tell us how to figure out where we're at on the map and then how to figure out how to get to where he wants us to get to? And that's what the Believe study is about. It's to kind of lay out the map, see where you're at, find the You Are Here star, okay? You know, you go to a mall, you go find it. Where are we? You go to it's an airport. I got out of my gate, B-22 yesterday. I'm in Atlanta. I'm like, sweet. I'm at E-1. Where's E-1? If you've ever been to Atlanta and you know the airport, E's not anywhere close to B. Anywhere close to B. I'm like, how about that? I got 20 minutes to get there. I made it. Everyone else had loaded up. I was like the last like three people left. Praise the Lord. Or Elder Steve was going to be my backup. Moving on. He knew that. He knew that. Anyways, but in all seriousness, we sometimes don't know where we are on the map. And it's impossible to get to where you want to get to, with any intentionality for sure, if you don't know where you're at. And so I want you to consider where you're at in the map when it comes to studying the Bible. What does that look like today? So our scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 4. And this, we don't know the author's name. But we know that for so much it helps us understand about who Jesus is and was and what it means for us even to today. So here he's talking about Jesus being the Word of God, and God giving us the Word now that we have the Scriptures and how that applies to our lives. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even the point of dividing soul from spirit and joints from marrow. Is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when you consider the word, when you consider where you are in the map, some key things that we've kind of gone over. First is, what does it mean to worship? And it's every part of your life. It's not just a service we go to, which again, we do this corporately. We do this gathered together, which is beautiful and wonderful. We should continue to encourage the hearts Pat said it earlier. Just making sure she's listening. That we were encouraged in Texas to spur one another on. And that's really what this is getting to, is that how can we encourage each other when we're gathered together in worship? But every other part of our lives, our getting up or going down, our going to and fro, our stopping and sharing a meal with someone, is a form of worship. Also shared about prayer and how prayer is so much bigger than just something we say before a meal or something we say before we go to bed, or maybe a quick thing when we wake up. All those are good, and we should continue to do that. But it's an intimacy with the Lord. It's a oneness with the Lord. Let's try that again. Okay, that's interesting. Sorry. Okay, I'm just going to read it to you because apparently that's not working. We study the Bible to know God, to know who He is, to find direction for our lives. And the point of studying God's word isn't so that we just know more. And that's really important. It's not just more knowledge. A real crazy but kind of dark fact is the people that knew the most about the scriptures were the ones who arrested Jesus, were the ones who helped get him crucified. Knowing more is essential for our faith. But living it out, letting it have its way, letting it transform us, is what it's all about. We got to let it actually read us, the text, that is. I got a text here. I hope and pray that it will encourage you because what's important about it is that this is a story of a gentleman who grew up under the leadership of Moses. Moses being the one who helped lead the rescue out of Egypt, that God heard his people's cry and said, Moses, let's go do this. And he had a relationship. You know how he led? It was so crazy how he led. He would go to God and say, God, what do you want me to say? And he'd say, go say this. And he'd go and say it. Okay, now what, God? Okay, now go do this. It was amazing how there's intimacy, this dependent kind of relationship. No robot was involved here. There was many times Moses had throw down arguments with God. And yet, God invited that kind of relationship, that real relationship. If you've maybe had the privilege of ever being married, that intimacy that you share or can share, that intimacy between two people is actually what God meant for us to have with him. If you've ever had a good marriage, then that's good news. If you had a bad marriage, I'm really sorry. That's not what we're going for today in any way. But when it's good, it's good. The intimacy that God wants with each one of us. Today, we don't go to top of mountains and say, okay, is God in the storm? We don't look at tectonic plates shifting and saying God is mad at us because of the earthquake. Now we understand how God made natural law and order and the way things are. And there's reasons for this. But we also understand that God has given us a special revelation in Jesus and has given us a gift in his word. So many of us don't know where to begin. And that's okay. It's not an easy book. 66 books. It's more of a library than a book. 66. It's got a part one and a part two. The part one makes the most sense. When you read part two, read part one, go back and forth, and you go, whoa, this is kind of connected. How about that? Written over 1,400 years by 40 different authors, there's a lot to it. It's not just easy. And so there's some things that we have to work on and be good readers of the text if we have any shot of being good doers of the text. But I'm not trying to just get you to read more, even though Ms. Jones got a good Bible sign up, go for it. What I want you to do is learn how to let Let the Bible read you. That we read for more than just information, but we read for direction. We read for transformation. It's more than that. So let me jump into the text. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, notice how the people aren't stuck. Notice how God didn't go, oh, darn, didn't see that coming. No, he knew. He was planning. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. I love that. Cross the Jordan. Lead these people into the land which I am ready to hand over. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to the Lebanon in the north. No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. Don't miss this part. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. You must lead these people. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. This law scroll, these words, must not leave your lips. Speak about them all the time. All the time. Memorize them, in other words. And he goes on later, the next sentence. You must memorize it day and night so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid. And don't panic. For I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. Get ready to lead. Get ready to lead. He knew his people needed someone to step in. He knew his people needed help in going where they were going to go, to know, to learn, to walk with the Lord. The challenge that you and I have is sometimes we think, okay, that's someone else's job. Again, for Pat, the reality is that we're called to be God's hands and feet wherever we go. And if you're a guest here, we're so grateful you came. We hope you're blessed. We hope you're encouraged. It takes courage to come to a new place, but especially a new church. And we get that. So this isn't for you per se. But if you're a partner, if you're a longtime family friend of our church family, God's called all of us to go and be his hands and feet in the light, in the community, to be where he has us so others can know the good news. I was driving on the way here, when I was driving, I looked over at a park, and I saw about 50 or more high school students working on football, organized and stuff, and I went, that's awesome that they're caring for their bodies. Excuse me. They're caring for their bodies. They're caring they're caring about something they enjoy. But are they caring for their soul? That was my first thought. Are they training up in that? And those things matter. It's amazing how autobiographies and stuff that, you know, tell about people that have had so much, and they just go, yeah, it just wasn't what I expected. I thought it would be better. And then when we were asked, how much is enough? You know, how much is enough? Just a little more. It's amazing how we can get stuck and focus on the wrong things. Not that those are bad things, but that is that really what God's called us to be all about? And again, this isn't to make anyone feel bad. It's just to pay attention. It's just to pay attention to those things that maybe have our hearts. So he calls Joshua, he says, I need you to lead. I need you to lead. But how, you might be asking, I know he was asking, by being strong and courageous. You know when I'm really strong? Is when I'm really close to the Lord. When I have that intimacy and that connection, I'm really strong. I've seen this in my relationship with my wife. When we're close, man, I feel we can handle anything. When things are good with my kids, I feel like we can handle anything in that relationship. It's amazing how I think this be strong and courageous is more about relationship with the Lord, more about having our heart out with him and knowing he's good and he can handle it. He knows what we need. He knows how to speak life into us. So the question that I was asked this weekend, and I just felt the Lord move in a powerful way in my heart, and obviously you heard Pat's, a little bit of Pat's story, but how is it with your soul? Every week I used to meet with a group of guys. Unfortunately, I don't have that group anymore. We have a different group, but it's a good group. In fact, I met with them on this last week. I said, a couple of the pastors, I said, so we're asking this question. I want your opinion on it, and I'd love for you just to vote and say yes, but we're doing it. We're doing it. You know, I said, we're going to start asking, how is it with your soul? We're going to get real. Because we can do a lot of great things, but if the way we're doing the work of God is killing the work of God in us, then it's not really the work of God. He's trying to help Joshua, being a leader, to know you lead out of your soul, out of your relationship with the Lord, not by just the latest techniques. Don't get me wrong, I love strategy. I read stuff from MIT and Harvard. I love learning and growing. But Christian leadership's a little different. It's about going to the Lord and saying, Lord, where do you think we should go? What do you want us to become? And he says this. He says, obey the law, which is interesting because you can't obey it unless you know it. Crazy, right? I know, kind of one of those things. We got to memorize it, not because we have to, but because it's like life. They still do this today. Parts all around the world where they're training up young Jewish boys especially. But before they confirm their faith, okay, they will take like honey and put it on their lips and say, the word of God is sweeter than honey. Think about that object lesson. They're trying to help them at a visceral level know the goodness of God through God's word. We need to embrace it, not just intellectually, and nothing wrong with it. Reading it and really trying to understand it at a cognitive level. But we have to be able to actually let it get deeper, go further. Is it like 18 inches or something from the head to the heart? It's amazing how we just kind of go, especially for guys, we're good at letting it have its way with us. See, the challenge for us isn't that we kind of, maybe it's sometimes, I don't know where to start or what to read. I'm just going to give you an easy one. Book of John, fourth account of Jesus' life. Just start reading it. It's wide enough for anyone to dip their toes in. You can get it. Don't worry. It's deep enough that you'll never get down to the bottom. But don't be afraid of it. Just start bite-sized pieces. 6 to 8 verses. Now, Miss Jones got it like the speed race going on here, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Miss Jones like, darn it! But 6 to 8 verses, do that, but then give it, out of that reading you did, find 6 to 8 verses and just let it read you. Let the text get into you. Let it work its ways. See, a lot of times we find that, or we maybe have thought, that the Bible is a bunch of rules, a list of do's and don'ts. Are there lists? Yeah, I guess. But it's not based out of just, okay, you better do it, and I'm a fiery mountain, and you're going to be crushed. It's I love you, and I want you to learn how to live life in the best way. I want you to be blessed because of it. And by doing it, it'll help your life. There's some fantastic principles. Whether you're a Christian or not, there's some fantastic principles of how to live in there. How to treat one another, business stuff, good stuff on relationships. There's some really good stuff in there, whether you're a Christian or not. But we're not just talking for head knowledge again. We're talking about transformation. But we have to get into it. We have to let it get into us. It's not information for consideration, too. It's for direction. God's not showing you something so you go, oh, that's a little fun fact. Nice to know. Oh, okay, moving on. He wants us to be able to live it. There's going to be sometimes when you read the Bible and you're going to go, oh, wow, that's powerful. Oh, I don't like that. At the same time, you're going to see something or read something and go like, oh, wow, how did they do that? Oh, I don't ever want him to ever ask me that. Don't be afraid of those questions. Let that get in there. Think of it as like a marinade. You want it to get in every part so it tastes even better. Again, head and heart, which means, again, we got to understand it's not just information for consideration. It's for direction. It's for us to live life better. Absolutely, we need to continue to read it to know it, to understand it. If you don't know what a map is, it's hard to understand to find the "you are here" star. You don't know what to even make of it. The Bible is kind of the map, or helps us understand the story we find ourselves in. The story we find ourselves in, and letting God, when we read it for transformation, letting God work in our hearts so that when we read it, it's so much more than a list of do's and don'ts. But it's about, okay, Lord, who are you wanting me to become? And here's one of the greatest news probably the best news ever. He gives us his spirit. By his grace, we are transformed. Not because we try harder, not because we do more, not because we know more, but because of his work in our hearts and our lives. Take your greatest regret and give it to him, and he can make it be a source of healing and hope for someone else. And healing for you and hope for someone else. Isn't it true that some of your greatest mistakes, when shared in the right context in a healthy relationship, can be wisdom for another person? Oh, if you do that, that's a dead end. I say that because I went down that dead end. It's not fun. It's up to them. You give them a choice. They're the ones that have to own it. But the reality is, you've done your part. It's so important. So what about those areas in our lives? They're just, man, we just feel like this. We don't know if we can give that to God. We don't know what God's going to do with that. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's something that you are really doubting about who you are. Or if people knew about that, I don't know. If you're having those questions, maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to finally get real. He's probably just saying, hey, I really want to talk about this. I want you to know that I love you completely. There's nothing you can do to make me love you any less. There's nothing you can do to make me love you anymore. It's so complete. Let's talk about this. Let God meet you in your emptiness and know it's okay. Let him meet you where you're at. Let him have that deep place, because we read for a relationship. We are his children. I shared last week about prayer, that we pray because we get to. I can call the President of the United States. Guess what? He ain't taking my call. I'm sorry. I don't have that clout. Maybe you do. Hats off. But I know that Heavenly Father takes my calls every single moment. He takes your calls. You just have to go and say, good morning, God. Maybe it's been a while. Tell him, I know it's been a while. And then be still. Don't try to solve anything. Just be present. Let the deep, wonderful, beautiful Spirit of God meet you in your deep pain, your woundedness, in your joy, in the beauty of the world too. It's amazing how he wants to meet us. It's so much more than just fun facts. Love having a good time. So you guys, sometimes you know that a little too much up here, and I'm sorry about that. But I try to bring it real here. He cares about our hearts, and he cares about everything about us. He wants us to just be wrapped up in what wraps him up. His work in this world, his work in our hearts, his work in our lives. So what's the next step for you? It may be, you know what, I've never read the Bible. In fact, before this moment, I thought it was called Bible. So then maybe the first steps is maybe check out one of our small group Bible studies. Maybe it's to, if you don't have a Bible, grab one from the back. No one will judge you. Just grab it and look at it, and you can have it. It's a gift from us to you. Maybe it's to maybe pick a book and start reading it. And when you have questions, underline them, highlight them, circle them, write them down. Let's talk about it. Maybe it's to stop reading God's word just to check it off your list and maybe let it read you. instead. Pray about it. We're here to serve. We're here to help you in this. Know this. I didn't say yes to serve here just because I needed a job. I didn't say yes to serve here just because my Sundays were free. I said yes because I felt God wanted me to serve you and to serve our community in helping us all grow and become more like Jesus, to follow him more faithfully, to become what he imagined us becoming. Not by, again, checking all a whole bunch of boxes and everyone's good, but not really. But for us to do it together. And that takes courage. That does. That takes humility. That takes a letting go, a surrendering. And even though I might be there, doesn't mean you might be there. And I get that. I get that. Maybe you joined because, or you partnered with us because, well, they were nice people and it wasn't too weird, or thought I could just do my thing on Sundays and get going. You can do that. But it's so much better. It's like going out to fast food versus getting something maybe that's been in the smoker for like 10, 12 hours. There's nothing else like it. Now, if you're vegetarian or vegan, sorry. Asparagus, that's what I got for you. That's what I got. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be surrounded by you and your word. Help us to remember that in this believe that it's so much more than us just going through the motions. It's so much more than us just knowing some more stuff. It's about you and your word and your spirit doing the deep work in our souls to change us and transform us so that we may be the people you called us to become. You see us becoming. You were there for Joshua. Help us remember you're there for us. You told him to be strong because apparently he needed it for the journey. And Lord, you tell us we need to be strong. We need to be courageous. So Lord, help us. Give us more courage. Give us more boldness. Help us not to just enjoy a little trip to fast food every now and again, but to truly eat and drink of you. Have your way with us, we pray. We lift up brothers and sisters around the world, but especially our eco brothers and sisters that we're gathered together. We give you praise for that. We thank you for a movement and not just a denomination. We thank you for challenging us to continue to seek after you, to be a flourishing church, to become a flourishing church. But it starts with us being transformed disciples. And so, Lord, continue the deep work. And for those brothers and sisters in Christ that are hurting, Lord, meet them where they're at. May your grace be sufficient. We pray for all those who are hungry, all those who are lost, all those who don't know the hope they can have in you. We pray for our country and our leaders. May they come to know your son, Jesus, more and more each day. We pray for wisdom and favor and humility. We pray, Lord, that we would all know that you are the one true King, and our hope is in you. Father, we want to lift up our hearts the way you told us to lift them up by saying a prayer, not just to give lip service, but a prayer that our hearts already poured out and to know you deeper and deeper by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us debts as we give debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.